Well, I'm so thankful that for that this morning, that is the truth. Our sins that are many, yes, His mercy is more. Invite you this morning to turn with me to Psalm 119, and we want to continue here, beginning in verse 105, and our reading this morning goes from 105 to 110 and 12. Let's all stand for the reading of the Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we have your word here with us in its written form, Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to bring life, truth to our hearts through this word. Father, we realize that you have mercy on us by giving us your word and showing us who you are, leading us into the truth. So this morning I pray that our eyes would be open and our ears would be unstopped, our minds would be humbled before you, our wills would be surrendered to your will, that your truth would be the stay of our life. I ask that you would guide and keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, we only intend to cover the first four verses of this section this morning, but the title of this message is The Light of God's Word. The Light of God's Word. He has not said much in these passages about the Word of God being light, but he did just briefly. But this is a tremendous principle of Scripture. It's a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous joy to look at this passage, to look at this aspect of God's Word, and to understand what God has done for us. Now, our day today is no different than the psalmist's day. He lived in a fallen world, and we do too. It's a fallen world that preaches to us all the time that truth is relevant and it's elusive. What do I mean by that? Truth is whatever you want it to be, and you can't hardly get it. Well, we suffer as people from doctrine and propaganda that comes from the blind leading the blind. And because of this, many are falling into the ditches of false truths that are not, and false doctrines. And these people that fall many times do not rise again. Sad to say. God's word stands in stark contrast to what these false pretenders have to say. God's word is the light in a dark world. It is the truth in a world of lies. It is the solid foundation in the sinking sand. It is the unchanging, unmitigated will of God given to us in words. We will follow the path of our heart's inclination. And apart from the word that gives light being shined into our hearts, we too are going to follow the blind leaders into the untruth. Who's to say that we're any different from those that believe the untruth if the truth is not with us? Jesus said, if that light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? God's word makes bold and definite promises about this very issue. So this morning, as we come to this psalm, let us hear the word of God. And let us hear his intended effect upon our lives. Let us be willing to humble ourselves and put ourselves under the authority of the word of God. So let's begin here in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is a picture of a luminary object, a lamp. That the purpose of a lamp is to give light. If the lamp is dark, there is no light. But the lamp, and in these days, you know, they had these lamps that held oil, these little pitchers that held oil with a wick in them, and they would light the end of that wick, or they had a torch of some sort that was lit with fire, and the fire gave light, and the light revealed things in the darkness. And as as they would walk, they could see where they're going in their house, or they could see what to do, or they had some sort of means by which they could perceive the surroundings around them. The picture here is that God's truth, that the light of God's truth reveals the way in spite of the surrounding darkness. A candle that's lit in a completely dark room keeps giving light as long as the fire's burning. There's light there. It doesn't matter how heavy or how dense the darkness is. You know, have you ever been in a cave or been in a place where there was absolutely no light and you could not see your hand in front of your face? You know, I remember a number of years ago we were at a big church service, and we were having an ordination in our church where we used to attend over 20 years ago. And there was probably 400 people in this building. And we were the pastor was just ready to lay hands on the one being ordained and pray over him. And there were storms coming through the area. There was tornadoes coming through. And they knocked the power out, and it was absolute darkness. We have 400 people sitting there, and it was total darkness, and it didn't go back on. And we finished the service, by the way, and had a sermon afterwards. But they found these little lamps that they could light. And it wasn't much light, but you know what? As soon as that light came on, everybody was looking at the light. That light was revealing the present situation. That light was revealing where the preacher was actually standing. We could hear what he was saying. We could sing. We could pray. But we couldn't see. And that's the picture that he's giving here. Your word is like a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It's in the midst, in the context of darkness. We have a parallelism here, and it states the same truth. We have a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this is the means by which God says you will find your way in this world. Amen. It's not going to be by listening to what the most likable teacher is out here, the one that tickles my ears the most, the one that says what I want to hear, the one that kind of fits what I think. God says the lamp to your feet and the light to your path is His Word. And if, dear friends, it's His Word that does illumine the way. In Proverbs 6, in verses 21 to 24, he agrees with this statement when he says, Proverbs 6, he says, bind them, let me back up to verse 20. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. And the reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Here God put this word into our path and into the path of this young man through his father and his mother, teaching him the truth of God's word. And he said, this word's going to go with you. It's going to talk with you. It's going to lead you. It's going to be with you when you sleep, when you awake. And it's going to turn you out of the path of sin, young men. He said earlier in this chapter that how does a young man cleanse his way? It's by taking heed thereto according to your word. You want to cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit this morning? It's found in His word. If you're full of the word, you're going to find yourself getting rid of the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. The two cannot cohabit. You will be giving room to one or you'll be giving room to the other. This light that he's talking about here, is we think of the light of the sun. And though God's brightness is brighter than anything we could imagine coming from the sun or experience coming from the sun, in this way, in this place, in this context, it is as a lamp shining in a dark world. God is not saying, I'm shining my light everywhere. It's a lamp to your feet. It's a light to your path. God doesn't tell us everything. He doesn't show us everything. We don't know everything. We can't see everything. But what does He give us? He gives us the lamp for our feet and the light for our path. And what He gives us light and direction for is what He calls us to. And my dear friends, we don't have to understand what's right for everybody. We don't have to understand exactly what the president should do tomorrow. We don't have to know exactly how our mayor should conduct himself in the city. But we know the path that God has given us to walk. And we can say by the light of God's word, here's the truth, and it doesn't change. He's given us His word, and He's concentrated it on the path He wants us to walk. 2 Peter 1, verses 19 to 21 also agrees with this. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. And so we have, and let me back up just a bit. If we were going to look at the previous verses, he talks about the experience that he had with Jesus on the mountain. He talks about how that he saw the Son of God in His glorified state, in His exalted state. But let's notice what he says. That's even better. That's even more. Sure. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. I like the old King James better here. And so we have a more sure word of prophecy. The more sure word of prophecy was the word God gave. It's the truth God gave. And we have this word that's more sure than what Peter saw on the mountain than what he experienced on the mountain. Let's keep going. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, brothers, God has given us His Word, given by His means, by the Holy Spirit speaking into the hearts of these men and causing them to write what He was giving them to write. And that this Scripture is not open to private interpretation. This is not for us to just try to understand it the way we want to understand it. The truth needs to be understood in the way God gave it. The truth needs to be taken as God intended it to be taken. The truth needs to speak to us not on our terms, but on His terms. It's His Word, my friends, to us. We're the ones in the dark, fallen world. He's the one that dwells in light. And that His light that He has shined upon our hearts is the means by which He desires to bring His children to Himself. And He says, so you do well to take heed to it. If the Word is the lamp to your feet, my friend, and a light to your path, it will lead you to God. It will change you in the process. It will make you fit to be in His presence one day. He will not lead you any other direction than to Himself with that light. Just like when we were in that dark room and suddenly somebody turned a little lamp on. There was a flicker and a flame, and there was a little oil lamp burning there, and all eyes went to the light. So, my friend, all eyes must go to the truth. All eyes must go to the truth. This is not, again, I'll say it, it's not a relative truth. It's the most relevant book. It's the most applicable book of any age, of any time, of any day, in any situation, for any person of any tribe, nation, tongue, or people. There's no other book that fits us like this book. In fact, there's no other book, though we may read it, there's no other book that reads us like this book reads us. It has eyes, Martin Luther says. It looks into my heart. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays a hold of me. You see, my friends, that's the truth of God's Word. And He's going to lead us that way. He's going to lead us by getting His Word into our hearts. It's the lamp that shines in a place that is still largely dark. As believers, we're called to pay attention. We're called to be where God's Word is lighting the way. And I'll tell you, dear friends, you may be wondering where you're at. Are you in darkness? Do you feel like there's nothing around you? I tell you, look for the truth of God's Word. Look to find where God's truth is being made known, my friends. That's where the light is. That's the way to God. That's how you know where to go. You cannot look at me. You cannot look at anybody here. You cannot look at man. You must look to the truth of God's Word. It's the truth that sets you free, dear friend. Now, my friends, the darkness is universal. The light shines on the path of truth. It's the darkness today that's universal. In 1 John 5 and in verse 19, he says this, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or under the control of the wicked one." To lie under the control of the wicked one means that you lie under his deception. It means that you abide in his darkness that he intends to bring upon everybody that is possible for him to bring. And we're going to turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. And so I invite you to turn there with me. I'm going to read a few verses there that also explain this in greater detail. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do we see, first of all, here that this makes handling the Word of God very critical? Do we see here how that Paul says that we do not... We are not walking in craftiness. We're not trying to hide things behind a facade here or trying to be smart with the Word of God in such a way that we deceive people or we trap people or we ensnare people. That's not what he says they're doing. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. If the Word of God is the light, my friends, let's be careful what we do with it. For our sakes and for those that hear us. For our sakes and for those that follow us. Let's be careful because this is the light of the gospel. This is the eternal light that God has shown into the world. And let's notice how he does this. To wrongly manipulate or to be deceptive with God's word is to change the appearance of the revelation of God to ourselves and to others who are in spiritual darkness. To change what the Word of God says is to change what God looks like to a lost and dying world. This is serious, my friends, because as in handling the Word of God, we represent God and we represent His Word. Not only are we to just give this word is to be at work in us. But let us notice, Satan is the one who is blinding the hearts. Notice what he says there. Yes, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the gospel, light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan would like to keep the gospel from bringing light to the lost that are out there. The lost are deceived by the power of Satan, my friends. And it's by the power of Satan that they continue to wander in darkness. They are under his control. That word, they are under the sway of the wicked one. They are in his lap. He's got complete control of them. And the light is what breaks, is what keeps him from being able to have control. The light is the means by which God brings men out of the untruth into the truth. It is the means by which God keeps them from stumbling to keep them walking in his way. It is the way that God keeps them from walking to destruction to going to be with him forever in glory. My friends, it's critical how this word is handled. The Word of God shows Jesus to be the Son of God with power. It reveals this to the darkened hearts of men and women. The gospel, the Word of God, shines Jesus Christ into the heart of men and women who are lost. And that light comes into their hearts. And he does not try to persuade them by man's means. He says the Holy Spirit must shine the light through the Word into their hearts and appeal to their consciences. Notice what he says there. In verse 2, he says, "We're not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience." We're doing this with an open hand and with an open book. We're not trying to come behind you and sneak something on you. This is open to all. And although the darkness is universal, the light is shining upon those who are coming to the truth to be saved. And we find this in John 3 and in verse 19. In John 3 and in verse 19, he says this. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Just as the light exposes the darkness and dispels it, so the Word of God is freeing the ones who are sitting in darkness. It's freeing them from their sins upon whom the light has shined. My friends, if there is no deliverance from sin, then there is no deliverance from the darkness, and the light of God's Word is not there. But if there is freedom from sin, if you can confess your sins and be free of them, then it's because the light of the gospel has shined into your heart, my friend. It's because God's Word has lightened your way and He has become the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. And so Him and in Him alone is this light and this truth going to be found. Someone who is walking in the light wants his deeds to be exposed for what they are. You know, somebody that has been, it's a little bit like as if there was a crime that took place right in the vicinity of where you were. And you had a camera over your back. You had a video, a security camera that was over your back the whole time and showed you to be innocent from the crime that was committed. And the police came in and they arrested everybody in the area and began to question them out. And you said, I didn't have anything to do with it, but you were right there. You were right in the area. You're right there to do it. I wasn't involved, sir. And someone comes up and says, I've got video footage. He was over here, and this happened over there. We've got evidence. His deeds are brought to the light. See, the righteous man wants his deeds brought to the light of God's Word. He wants the truth to be made known. But listen, my friends, if you've committed sin, and you're a criminal, you want to hide from the camera. You want to hide from the view of God. And darkness is the best cover you know to have. In fact, Satan would love to keep you there, and he'd want to keep you loving the darkness because it hides who you really are. You see, my friends, if God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, it exposes who we are. It's going to tell us the truth about ourselves. It, first of all, tells us the truth about God. But when we know the truth about God and who He is and what he has done for us, it exposes who we are. His law exposes the truth about us. The wicked heart opposes the Word of God because of this very reason. And quite frankly, my friends, if you understand being brought to the truth, you understand you've been saved, you know what it means to come to the light, you understand that at one time you opposed the truth of God's Word as well. You did not want to be exposed to that truth and to that light. And nobody does in that state. But the wicked, therefore, hate the light of the truth, while the righteous are made confident by it. The truth is the means by which you gain confidence in God. It's by the means by which you see what really is and what is not. Because God reveals in absolute truth what he has said that stands and what is of this world that's passing away. The truth gives the righteous an increase of confidence and understanding. And the child of God has been set free from the snares of sin by God's word revealing Christ to him, and he wants Christ to continue to be revealed by God's word. You see, my friends, the one who has begun this path of walking in the light, of following the path of God through the light, through the truth of God's word, he wants more of Christ. Yes, it's painful to the flesh. We still live in a flesh that hates it. But you know what we understand? We understand that to be free from the flesh, to overcome the flesh, yields peaceable fruits of righteousness. There's glory for God that comes from that. There's righteousness that comes into our lives that's not of our doings, but of his. But he uses the word of God. It is the means by which he lights our path. Well, my friends, we all have a copy of God's word. I believe every household, we've got multiple copies of God's word. But I want to ask you this morning, do you depend on what the word says for your life? Do you follow its truths? Do you obey what God has said? Do you allow the word to change you in your understanding? You see, the thing of it is, this is just a book apart from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's just words on the page. And you know, men can tear these words out. Men can change them around. Men can twist the meanings. Men can undo the hooks that the Word of God sets in our conscience. But dear people, do you understand that those are hooks of love? Those are revealing who we are. It is the means by the word of truth that he brings us to himself. And would to God that we would want this more than we care about the pain that's caused in dealing with our flesh. Would to God that this meant more to us than anything else in the world. I want to ask you, is God's word revealing Christ to our hearts, thereby bringing our consciences to be cleansed? We talked this morning about confessing our sin, having a clean conscience before him by his word. Are you willing to do that every day? Are you willing to be free from the sin that this Bible points out to us? Are you willing to be cleansed from your deception? Are you willing to be cleansed from your own thinking, being turned from your own ways? We get good at deceiving ourselves. We get good at thinking we're okay even when the Word of God tells us we're not? Are you surrendered to God's Word? Are you trying to mix your way and God's Word together? I'll tell you, this is where some of the greatest deceptive heresies have come from, when people insisted that they mix their way with God's way. You're going to either take it as it is, or you're going to leave it as it is. Because in that day, there is no mixed doctrine. In that day of judgment, you will stand or fall on this unmixed, unvarnished truth of God's Word. And I want to ask you, how is it with you today? To compromise the truth, my friends, is to embrace the darkness. To compromise the truth is to embrace the darkness. To compromise the truth is to embrace the untruth. Because the Word of God stands and stands true. It stands alone. I want to ask you today, as a believer, does the exposure of your life to God's Word bring more confidence in your walk with God? I find this morning that as I heard you brothers share from the Word of God, there's something of a confidence that came into my heart. That God is doing a work in His children, and He does what He does in me, He's doing in others. And this Word is true regardless of who it's with. Regardless of who is giving the testimony, the Word is true. And so I ask us this morning, Is he adding, maybe you can't say that, well, I have more confidence today than I had yesterday. But what about after a year? What about after 5 years? What about in 10 years? Are you able to say that there's more confidence with God and your trust in God is greater and is growing? I'm not saying everything's perfect, because the child of God has to deal with his own sin. And many times dealing with our own sin means dealing with deceptions that we have believed. Dealing with lies that have been a part of our being. Dealing with the untruth that somebody has told us. And we have taken it. And sometimes it seems like moving ahead is actually moving back. But I want to ask you, are you coming back to the Word of God when you're moving back? If you are, you're growing. If you are, you're growing. You see, everything that is extra from the Word of God is going to be brought down. Everything that's not of the Word is not going to stand. And so, my friends, today is the day to bring this before the Word of God. And I ask you, do you love the light of the gospel, the light of the truth, or do you hate it? This is how you know who you are. If you cannot stand for the truth of God's Word to touch the core issues of your heart, then, my friends, I think you need to question, has God begun a good work in me? Every child of His longs to know Him better and to come closer to Him and to draw nearer to Him, and the Word of God does that. Even though He reveals the difficult things to us, the Word of God does that. It brings us closer to Him. Well, the second part, we want to look here, verses 106 to 108. And we want to look at how God's Word creates and sustains our faith in Him. He says here, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. This means that He committed Himself completely. There's total commitment here to the Word of God. His confidence in the Word is a settled matter. It's a settled deal as to whether He's going to obey or not obey. That has been taken care of. He has totally committed here to God's will. His oath or His swearing is given as a public declaration of His commitment to keep God's Word. And in this culture, they would have said, he sevened himself. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, he declared this truth seven times, meaning that he would keep it no matter what. Now, I realize the word of man is fallible. We can say, we can make promises that we'll do something, and for some reason we fail to do it. I understand how that can happen. But nonetheless, his confidence in God is that he is committing himself, he's laying himself completely out on the line to do God's will. He is not going to turn back from the will of God, and he's going to do it with his whole heart, and he's not going to give up on the truth. He's making himself accountable to God, and he's making himself accountable to man to do this. You see, my friends, he's totally committed because he's totally confident in the Word of God. He's totally confident that what God has done in his Word, he's going to continue to do. We cannot commit ourselves by our own strength. We cannot say, well, I'm committed to be faithful to God in this to the end on our own. We say, I commit myself to God. By his grace, he will have to lead me. At some point, I run out of my own abilities. At some point, I run out of my own talents. They're limited. My energy is limited. My knowledge is limited. My skill set is limited. But God is not limited. And if his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, the answer is that he's going to take you and shine the light on the very next step that you need to take. He's not going to teach you the whole thing at one time. But the very next step is going to be illuminated. The very next step is going to be what you commit to do. That's what it means to be obedient. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Notice his total dependence upon God. Afflictions come in life. Afflictions are a part of this life. We live in a veil of sorrows. We live at a time where our friends and our family, they die. They get very sick. Or they get things happen. Businesses reverse. We lose money we thought we could get. And we could go on and on. We have physical ailments. We have accidents. We have, you know, tragedies come. And afflictions come through because of them. Sometimes afflictions come because people are righteous. Sometimes afflictions come because people are evil. Let me just say this in regards to this passage. Deep afflictions call for great reliance upon our Almighty God. Deep afflictions call for great reliance and dependence upon our Almighty God. We're not imperfect, friends. We just need to rely on our perfect God. It is our perfect God who will lead us in this way. In Psalm 71, and beginning in verse 19, the psalmist says this: also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have shown me great and severe trouble. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again. You see what David is saying here is that, God, you have shown me great troubles. You've taken me through deep waters. There's difficulty in this life. David understood that. David suffered affliction probably in proportions to that we don't even understand today. He was called to be the king of Israel, and Saul chased him in the wilderness for his life for years. He didn't do anything wrong to deserve this. He was doing what God said. God said, you're to be king, and he was simply being obedient to God. It wasn't anything that he had done, but it brought great affliction into his life. It brought great trial. He lived in caves, and he lived in in the forest. He lived as a fugitive in his own land. And yet he understood one thing, that you who have shown me great trouble shall revive me again. Friends, great affliction means that we need to have total dependence upon our God. It calls for it out of us. This revival and this renewal, this revival and this renewal is spiritual. It's not physical. He's not looking for some sort of energy boost. He's not looking for the next new health fad to get him over up to the next level to do things better. No, he's looking for spiritual renewal. He's looking for something that deals with his heart. He's looking for that which brings him up from his affliction. Now, maybe God won't take the physical element away. Maybe God won't take away the fact that, you know, his children became estranged from him at a time after he had sinned. Though he repented, and though he found life in Christ, in God again, he did not always have things going his way. You know, his children fought each other. And it was a curse to him because of his sin. But nonetheless, he was looking for spiritual renewal. He was looking for that which renews the heart. This leads him to go to God's truth to sustain his faith and to increase his confidence in God. He can't find it in the other things. He can't find it if he looks at his riches. He can't find it if he looks at his accomplishments in war. He can't find it if he looks at all the things he's gained for himself. He can't find it when he looks to the applause of people. He can't find it anywhere but in God. And friends, that's the light. That's where the light shines. He's saying, this is where the light's shining for me. I can't find it anywhere else. I have to come here. Here's where I find my revival, my renewal, my ability to stand before God and say, Lord, here I am completely. Use me. Now let's notice verse 108. He says, accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. While it has led to total commitment to God, and it has led to a total dependence upon God to renew him, it has now led him to a total surrender in worship. This is a total surrender in worship. He's saying, Lord, I pray you accept the freewill offerings. Freewill offerings are gifts given freely to God. They're given with a thankful heart. They're given with not just something that God's words requires, but something we come with because we're overflowing with thankfulness, with gratefulness. When we see the greatness of our God, we see the power of his salvation, we know the truth has led us thus far, and truth will lead us home. We can come with thankful hearts. We don't find thankfulness when we're turned into ourselves. We don't find thankfulness when we're looking at other people to get our worth and our value from them and to find confidence in them. We don't come with thankfulness when we look at all the things we've accomplished, the material goods we've gained, the battles we've won. All these things fall far short of filling our hearts with thankfulness and gratefulness and joy to come before him and to completely give himself in worship in a freewill offering. These offerings are a testimony of God's sovereign work by enlightening our path. We find that we didn't enlighten our own path. We couldn't. We didn't have a way to get out of our mess. We couldn't. But we are thankful and eternally grateful to the one who has made it so that we have life in him, and he's given us the path to walk in newness of life with him. God, through his word, has freed the believer from the blind bondage of his or her sin. And this calls for total surrender in worship. You know, we have a lot of people today that call that what they call worship is really a worship of themselves. It's really self-gratification. If they don't get anything out of it, it wasn't worth anything. But my friends, have you come to God offering him thanksgiving, lifting him up, worshiping him, giving him the glory due unto his name, entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? Have you understood what it means to be totally surrendered in worship to him? Because, my friends, that's where you find your joy. You don't find it when you're trying to fulfill yourself. You find it when you're trying to worship him. And you find that you come with total surrender in worship to him. God, through his word, I said that already. Martin Luther said this: God's word cannot be without God's people. And conversely, God's people cannot be without God's word. God gives his word, and he gives it because he has people. And he's going to lead them in the path that leads to him. But conversely, as people of God, we cannot be the people of God apart from the word of God. We must be submitted to God's teaching. Notice here what he says in the last part of verse 108. And teach me your judgments. True worship leads us to a desire to know more. We will long to be more obedient. We long to have deeper fellowship. We long to have better outflow of praise, a more consistent obedience to God. And that's why he calls for total submission in worship, is because he asks God not only to instruct him in the way. This word teach here doesn't only mean, well, I may receive some more instruction. What the psalmist here is actually asking for is for God to not just teach him, but to goad him. That means that a goad was a stick with a sharp point on the end of it. And they would use it to make their oxen move down the road. They would use this stick and they'd poke them to get them to go. And he's saying, God, I don't want you just to tell me. I want you to poke me down the road I need to go. I want you to take me, and I want you to do what it takes to make me go that way. Why did he say things like this? Why did he use this terminology? See, the flesh doesn't like to do it, does it? The flesh doesn't like it. And sometimes the flesh has to be dealt with. We have to be chastened. True worship is willing to say, look, I don't care what it costs, Lord. It doesn't matter what it costs. The judgments here are the sentence or the formal decrees that God has pronounced judicially from a verdict he has already determined. In other words, these are judgments. These are things God has said about things that he knows and has already declared. And that's what the law is. The law says that if you obey me, you follow me, I'll prosper you in the land. That's what God said. Now, if you don't obey me, I'm going to curse you. You're going to find all these blessings that you had turned to curses. That's the verdict God already pronounced. He doesn't say that if you disobey me, well, it'll be okay. We won't worry about it. He would not be the God he is if that's what he said. You know, you can go ahead and just commit murder. You can just name the sin. You can commit it, whatever, and there's no payment needed. This is why we are to be surrendered worshipers. He knows that discipline in our life produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it, and that he or she wants this peaceable fruit more than anything else. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. And that's the ESV in Matthew 10 and verse 39. Whoever finds his life. In other words, if you're gonna have it your way here, you're going to find that you can get what you want, when you want, how you want it, in the place that you want it, then you're going to find that you're going to lose it with him. You're not going to have eternal life with him. You're going to come to the end of life, and you have nothing. You have nothing by which to gain you eternal life. But my friends, whoever loses it here, whoever's willing to give up what he wants, when he wants, how he wants it, and says, God, you shine the light on my path, I'll take the next step with you, and I'll go down this path, and we'll just let the rest be up to you. That's the one who finds it. That's the one who says, when he gets to the end, Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Lord. See, we don't get there because we have a scheme. We get there because he takes us one step at a time. So I ask you this morning, are you completely committed to God's word in his word today? Are you willing to give yourself up completely in total surrender, in worship to him, to completely obey his truth and to keep his judgments? Are you going to say God is right? Are you going to say I'm right? Do you worship him by bringing him gifts with a joyful and a thankful heart? Do you worship him by bringing him gifts with a joyful and a thankful heart? You know, David said that if you wanted bulls and sacrifice and goats and all that, I would give it. But what do you want? A contrite and a broken heart. My friends, a contrite and a broken heart's a joyful heart. Because they found peace with God. They understand that God requires everything. They understand in true worship that it's in spirit and it's in truth. That according to the truth of God's word, they're sinners. And they deserve nothing. But by the Spirit of God, he has given them life. And he's raising them up to live for him. That's worship. That's worship. Do you worship him? I'm sorry. These are the marks of being God's very own possession, my friends. Apart from this total surrender, you cannot claim to be a child of God. These are the ones whom he leads by his word. And I will just tell you this morning, a high view of God is going to lead you to high living. But conversely, a low view of God is also going to lead you to low living. You live in accordance to how you worship. You live in accordance to your understanding of God. You live in the reality of whether you surrender to him or you don't. Well, in conclusion, we have seen here that the Holy Spirit has inspired these men of old to write about God's will, his desire, his intent for his word. And I want to ask you, have you taken the time to ask yourself, it comes right down to it, who am I following? Who am I really following? If you're a child of God today, you know that the truth has set you free. There is not a child of God on the face of this earth who is a child of God that cannot say anything other than it was the truth. And by the truth in Christ Jesus, I'm set free from my sin. There's 100%. all the time. But have you followed Christ this morning? Have you given yourself 100% to Him? Does He own you? He says that if you will come after me, you must take up your cross, the instrument of your own death, and follow me. We don't like that very well because it's difficult. But my friends, is there any other way? Is there any other place for us to be? Child of God cannot be in any other place. Does anything stand this morning between you and God? Between you and a total surrender to God? If so, 1 John 1:7, as a believer, instructs us to walk in the light. And then in verse 9, he says, confess your faults, your sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believer, I urge you this morning, if you know you have sin in your life, you know that there's an issue of sin that you're dealing with, God has been merciful to you, then I beg you, come to Him and confess it. Come to Him and repent of it. He is faithful and He is just. He loves His children. He cleanses them from all unrighteousness. There's not one sin He won't cleanse them from. There's not one sin that they have to bear themselves because Jesus bore it all. He is the total victor. He has taken total victory over sin. Dear sinners, this morning, if you've heard the truth of God's word, and you know that you want to draw back into the darkness, you don't want the light, you're not hidden from God. God knows where you are. He sees your heart. And He knows the darkness that enshrouds your soul. I want to just ask you, can you grope for the light? Can you grope for the truth? Can you come to Him today? Please hear me, friend. If you're lost, the darkness is your mortal enemy. It will damn your soul on the day of judgment. All the enemies of your soul, my friend, live in the darkness. Oh, today that you would see the light of the gospel. Oh, that Christ would be made known to you as the glorious victor over darkness. And that His word would become the light to your feet, the lamp to your path. Dear friends, may this be our testimony. That we live all of life with His word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You this morning. We just thank You for Your word. Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit apply this word where it needs to be applied. Oh God, surrender our hearts to the truth. Turn our eyes to the light, Lord. Take off the blinders and the veil that so close us from the truth. Reveal to us, Lord, our need of You. Reveal to us, Lord, the means by which You have given us life, and that is through Your word and through the death and suffering and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love You, Lord. Commit ourselves to You for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name.